This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10. That's AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 219 for Friday, January 23rd, 2015. It's almost February. We really got to quit being surprised at what the date is. It's not like we don't know what's coming.
I accidentally wrote down 2014 yesterday, so that was pretty bad. We got 3 weeks in and I was still not coming to terms with the fact of what year it was.
Sorry, get over it.
Never going to.
That's Andrew Martinick, everybody, if you're just joining us.
Living in the past over here. It's okay.
We have Jerry Hildenbrand with us as well.
Hi, everybody.
And Russell Hawley.
Yay.
We gave Alex the night off, I guess, which is fine, I guess. I suppose that's okay. You know, he's just sitting there listening to us laughing, too.
Hopefully with a glass of really dark beer in his hand.
Probably. Alex, I hope so, too.
If you're out there with a beer in your hand, here's to you.
I'm Phil Nickinson. You know me. How's it going? We do this little podcast live most weeks on Friday, usually, sometimes. And that is what we are doing today. I wanted to start things off a little different today, though. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and pull up my chair and just sit down for a second. So normally I forget to do emails at the end, but I got an interesting one this morning, and I just kind of felt like talking about it for a few minutes. Thomas writes, "Hey, guys, one of the things I really like at AC is you guys take your time to cover subjects seriously and comprehensively, even if that means breaking the story after common news sites." I love the sound of that. the common news sites. It was true about your reviews, and I really like the Futurology posts as well. Keep going. I have a question, though. How does it work? Do you make more money and more visitors with rushed news or long reviews and analysis? I know the answer to that. I know you guys know the answer to that because we've been talking a lot about that.
Well, you're the guy that talk about it more than anything, but...
We do more listening while you yell at us than talking.
While I tell you what to do? I mean, yes and no, right? I mean, I guess it kind of depends. We've kind of taken this active stance in the past year or so of really looking at, okay, is this an important post, or how is it important? Is it important in the short term, or is it important in the long term? And I think we've struck a pretty good balance of being able to do both, right? So I know the one people love to make fun of us for are these stupid screenshot posts, and I get it. But guys, we wouldn't be doing that sort of stuff, or the really simple, here's how you do something basic posts. We wouldn't be doing those if we didn't know that people were reading them, and we didn't know that they worked. I mean, I don't want to give away all our secrets, but you kind of have to be an idiot to not get that, right? I mean,
dude, yeah, I'll be honest. You tell me to write a post about how to do a screenshot, I say, Phil, that's just stupid. Then I write it. And then when I see somebody say, "Oh, thanks for showing us how to do that,"
yep,
it makes me want to write them every time because that's
it's the incredible thing. Yeah,
the number one kind of email that I get as a thank you is for those kind of posts because it's people who legitimately do not know.
I would rather do 100 of those than and some of it just kind of ebbs and flows, right? Like I get bored doing app updates. Like, why am I writing about an update to an app that everybody's going to get? And, just go to Google Play and get it. Or, here's hands-on with something you're going to get in 10 minutes. Well, okay. I mean, so we kind of, changed our focus a little bit about, what do I want to spend time on? How's my time is editorially best spent?
Well, yeah, I think that it's not that we're balancing out between kind of the help stuff and then the review and editorial stuff. It's maybe, like you said, we drop off some of the what we deem as really useless stuff. Here's this random bug fix update to a beta app that not many people use. You drop that off and put it into one of the two larger buckets rather than, we're not looking at it as let's help people. And then because of that, let's not do an in-depth review. I mean, That's not the exchange, I don't think. We're still doing both.
And at the same time, I mean, we're doing as many reviews as we've ever done. I think it's been interesting as we've looked back at the big reviews of the past year, and I'm not going to give numbers here, but it's been interesting to see which reviews have done really well in the long term. Because I mean, reviews are important to us. It's funny how much time we'll spend writing a review and laying it out and making it look nice, especially with these newfangled templates. And like internally, those are probably still some of the more important things I think we do, right? Like as a writer.
It's the way that you put your foot down with one, you know, big stamp of this is how I feel about this thing, all in one area. And so you put a little more weight behind that personally when you're writing it and constructing it and everything. You want to put everything out there at once and say, this is, you know, this is the compendium of how I feel about this phone or tablet. And maybe we put a little too much time on it, you know, in that respect.
That wasn't the word of the day on my calendar.
So put too much into it, but that's we still regard those kind of big reviews highly in our own minds.
Yeah, it's just really interesting to see how the big reviews do, you know, 8, 10, 12 months later versus, you know, some little help and how-to post that you didn't think was anything at the time or that, you know, is kind of a waste of your time as an Android expert. And it's funny. Yeah, no, I mean, we have to strike a balance. I don't think you can put like a pure dollar amount on any sort of post, but you get the idea of how things work. And we've done a lot of work in the past year of really taking a look at that.
But I do think go ahead, Jerry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, dollar amounts aside, I get paid the same no matter what I write. I mean, that's exactly. Just the thing. Phil pays me to write. The satisfaction that I get from knowing that I helped somebody is actually a repayment to me and makes me want to keep going the direction we've been going. I really appreciate it.
We do a lot of posts that we know aren't, you know, if you talk about making money, you know, with the air quotes, we know they're not going to make money.
Yeah.
We know that, you know, not a whole lot of people are going to read this, but it's still an important thing to do. I've got this entire device here that I'm, you know, we spent money to buy this Dell tablet. And I'm using it and exploring it and have this horrible, horrible folio case thing on it.
You know what I realized? It's uneven from the left to the right side. The sides are different
it's thicknesses. It's so not good. But, yeah, like... It's not a very important device. I take it back. I think it's kind of an important device. But like from a traffic standpoint, absolutely not. It's not going to make us any money. But it's still something I think we need to do, and we're going to do it. Same thing with a lot of the trips we go on, I think.
Right. You know, that Dell tablet, it is important to the people who are thinking about buying one. You're doing them a service, so.
And that's how I look at it. It's from a global traffic standpoint and, you know, how Android Central does for 2015, probably not going to be much of a blip. But like, I think it's important enough to do because people are saying, all right, here's mm-hmm. this cool tablet. Should I buy it? Exactly. So no, it's a really fun question to ask, I think. And it is a good one to ask, especially
and
as kudos, we continue to do things differently.
Kudos to you for having the cojones to answer it. A lot of
I like people, talking about it. It's fun.
Yeah, a lot of people would have let something like that slide right under the radar.
And don't tell Russell, but that's part of the reason I wanted to hire him, because Russell does things differently than we do. So we're going to do things even more differently in 2015.
So I love things.
Long answer. You love what?
I love things that do things.
Yeah.
Big fan of things that have buttons and do things.
I'm excited. Can you hear it? Can you hear it in my voice? I really am excited for what we're going to do this year. And like, it's a big ship to turn. You know, we're working on the new app. I got to see some mock-ups of the redesign there, and it's going to be a long time coming. I mean, if we get it by summertime, I'll be pretty thrilled.
Well, we don't want to turn out crap, let's be honest.
No, totally. Well, I mean, I turn out crap all the time.
But, you know what I mean. Our first app was done really well. Some things have changed. We want our next version of the app to be just done just as well.
Yeah.
And we see all the tips that come in asking about, you know, can you change this? Can you change that? And funnily enough, it's, you know, we have those same things that we're talking about doing. And a lot of stuff is already in motion when we get all these tips about adding different features and styles and things like that.
Yeah.
All right, nerds, so anyway, what are we talking about this week?
Yeah, that was kind of the long answer to that. But thanks for the question. I thought it was a fun question, and I wanted to do things, you know, to start off a little differently this week. All right, now talk about the nerd stuff. I don't know. What do you want to start with? Can I talk about this tablet for a second?
Yes. Talk about that tablet.
You would better.
Yeah. I'm finishing up the review on it, and like I'm still using the tablet a lot. So if you haven't seen, it's the Dell Venue 8 7000 series, otherwise known as the worst named tablet in the history of tablets.
The 7840.
The 7840, actually in the review, I flat out say up at the top, I'm like, it's a stupid name. I'm not going to write that over and over again in this review. I'm just going to call it the tablet. It's ridiculous. I mean, the big deal here is it's got Intel inside, which you can tell, you guys watching this on video, because it says Intel inside. So it's got an Intel Atom processor, what is it, up to 2.3 gigahertz, a couple gigs of RAM. Jerry actually just sent me a link right before we went live that somebody went into Best Buy and used one there and says, it's laggy. Well, I'm telling you, I'm holding one here that I bought, and it's not laggy. So
there you go.
I guess I should go to Best Buy if I want a laggy one.
Anyone who tells you...
Not to say that's Best Buy's fault, by the way.
Anyone who tells you that an in-store demo unit is laggy and uses that as a judgment for the hardware is just doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's not how we do things here. It has a really high resolution display. It's I'm going to throw numbers out there, and I'll probably get them wrong. Actually, I've got them
sitting 2560 by 1600.
Thank you. Looks beautiful. Really, really nice display. My only problem with it is, it's like when you're playing around with the resolution on your monitor, and you crank it way the hell up, and everything gets really tiny, and you can't see it. You have that problem a little bit here. And I don't know if you can see it in the video, but like the labels on icons are just tiny. They're friggin' tiny. If you crank up the font and the system settings, they get really big, but then the ligatures cut off, the descenders, little things hanging out below words. I'm just going to try to just do that real quick. I don't remember how to do fonts.
Everybody that has touched that tablet says the screen is incredible. Every screen single person.
Gorgeous. So
that makes me want to actually try one.
But then you have the way that apps work with... See, now my descenders are showing up right. There they are. So, like, Google, if you can... I don't know if you can see it. But the Google app, the G, the lowercase G, is cut off. And it's like, oh, okay. I mean, that's something they could have fixed in the launcher, I imagine. But then you have apps that don't necessarily follow the font settings. So, like, here's Facebook. Facebook is still tiny.
Jeez.
Even though I've cranked up the system font. Games play wonderfully on it. You know, all the usual stuff I play, Plants vs. Zombies, Skyforce, Clash of Clans, like every that stuff scales perfectly the way it should. But it's just a little bit of stupid stuff going on. It's not a great... I got to take this cover off. It's driving me nuts. don't buy this cover. I'll just tell you now. I might not even write about it.
We've been hearing about this cover for 2 hours now, guys. Really hates this cover.
it's a really thin tablet too. It's 6 millimeters thin. It's just a tad thinner than the iPad.
The Air, Mini not the 3, Air. Comma.
No. The iPad Air 2. Does that sound right?
I think
I should know the names of iPads better. It's like 1/10 of a millimeter. Thinner than that, so it's real close. Ridiculously thin, but it's a little weird to hold. You know, the bezels on the display, if you can see them, are also really, really thin. So it makes it a little hard to hold if you can see there, right? So
but that looks magnificent.
Put your thumbs on it.
It looks really cool as a design demo and showing it off in pictures, and people say, "Oh, that's really neat." You know, if it was a TV or something, but you have to hold it.
In actual use. You end up putting your hand down here on the speaker, and it's a pretty nice speaker, actually. When you're holding it vertically like this, it works. You've got a left channel, you've got a right channel. The problem is when you go to landscape, which is, by the way, how you're going to watch movies, then your brain says, hey, I've got this sound coming just at one side of my head. It's no longer real stereo. And I can't get over that. For me, that's kind of a deal killer. If you use headphones all the time, fine, not an issue. So that's just, it's another weird little quirk, right? It takes a micro SD card, which is in what looks like a SIM card tray right there, up to 500 gigabytes, it says, up to 512, which I don't even think we have those cards yet.
Nope.
I think they're not made yet.
256 is out there, though.
And then it's got some weird camera action. So and this is almost a developer tablet, just to, you know, to get Atom out there, which I think is super important, and to show off some of the camera tech that's in that chipset. So you actually have three cameras on the back that they're using to get depth, just like phones have for the past year and a half or so. And supposedly, mine doesn't do it. I think it doesn't have the software for some reason. You'll be able to actually measure things. You know, take a picture of something on a table and say, all right, it's 12 inches long or whatever. And I've seen a demo of it. They showed it to me in Vegas. But mine doesn't do that. And either way, it's a tablet. I don't want to take pictures with a tablet. I just don't. But as a reference sort of platform, that's cool. I get that. It's not a bad tablet. It just does some kind of dumb, non-consumer-y things.
It's kind of interesting overall is that Dell made an Android tablet that people actually care about. And I think that's a pretty good step in the right direction for Dell.
If you look at where Dell has come from, and the weird Dell, I don't even know what were they called? Dell Mini something?
Venue for something? I don't know.
They had kind of the original oversized Fablet. Whatever. Yep. Yeah.
The Dell Streak. The Streak.
That's it, yeah.
The Streak, that was it. Yeah, and they were not good. And they didn't really sell here in the States at all. But this is way better than that. There's a lot of good going on here, especially if you want a tablet of this size. And it's bigger than the Nexus 7, smaller than the Nexus 8, even though it's an 8-inch display. And it's different aspect ratio. So here, I've got the Nexus 8 here. Let me see.
The Nexus 9. So, you know, some unreleased.
Our Nexus 9, sorry. Sure. Yes. Not the Nexus 8. So, yeah, I mean, very, very different. I've got the font cranked up. You can see it there now. Very different look and feel to both of them. So if you can go play with one. Check it out. But there's a little bit of weirdness going on.
Now, the big question about that, and I know you're going to have a full review for us soon.
Man, yeah,
I felt like Phil for a minute when I said that. Is it worth the price? Because it's not cheap. It's not insane expensive, but it's $400, right?
If you had to ask, all right, you know, if it's, Phil, here's $400, pick either the Nexus 9 or the Dell tablet. I would probably say Nexus, just because I know what I'm getting.
Okay.
Look, this thing's still running Android 4.4. I don't know when it's going to get Lollipop. I'm trying to get somebody to say something about that. I mean, it's not bad. It is not bad. I just don't know what kind of future it's going to have. And it's just got all this, little bit of weird stuff going on. It has this Max Audio EQ app. They work with OnePlus and a couple other companies when I was reading up on it. But the app itself is low resolution. How do you preload a low res app on a high-res tablet? I mean, that is not acceptable, Dell. I know you're listening, Dell. Like, how do you do that? How does somebody say, it's good enough to ship it? No. Because you immediately you don't do that. That's just, one of those stupid things. It's got a Dell Cloud app, so you can save your pictures that you're taking with the tablet.
Ooh, that's just what I want, Dell Cloud.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. A lot of people are going to want Dell Cloud because they have no idea what Dropbox is.
Well, do what everybody else does and just make a deal with Google Drive or Dropbox and give you free storage and
I'm just saying that the idea of Dell having their own cloud on their tablet is not necessarily bad. The implementation may be bad, but the idea of them providing you with free storage isn't necessarily bad.
Yeah.
Now you all hate
it. I put it in the same AT&T cloud when you boot up an AT&T phone. Get out of my face with that. I'm not going to be able, no matter how good a job Dell does with Dell Cloud, it's never going to be as well implemented and cross-platform as Dropbox and Google Drive. which is a shame because then people are going to get their pictures tied up in some janky system.
You sleep on a bed of Dropbox money, don't you?
Yes, clearly. A bed of free Dropbox storage.
Look, the really short version is the display is beautiful. It's thin as hell. If you want a thin but slightly awkward to hold tablet, you know, you really almost can't do better. The speaker out front is good, but again, it's only at the bottom, so when you turn it sideways, you got sound coming at half your head. I've had no problems with the Atom processor. That's kind of the big question mark. And you know, some of the games that have a little bit of graphics wonk on even Tegra, which you know specifically Skyforce is one of them. It just goes crazy on Tegra a little bit. No problem here. The only other app I've had an issue with, and it's an app issue, it's not a hardware issue, is 1Password, which also doesn't work on the Nexus 9. So, I mean, for me, it's been a pretty normal experience. Go play with one. If you, you know, hold it in your hand and you absolutely fall in love with it, I think you could do worse. Put it that way. That's all I have to say about that. How about some Snapdragon talk? Because there's been...
Wait, where did I put that can of worms?
there's been a little bit of headlineage over the past week over Snapdragon 810. If you're not a processor nerd, and I don't blame you, this is usually the kind of stuff that makes my head want to explode. Qualcomm Snapdragon, that's you know their big processor line. That's probably what's in your phone now. 810 is the next big version we're starting to see come out now. It's 64-bit. It's 3,000 times faster than whatever the... I don't know how many times faster. Whatever. It's the next big version, right? Jerry, anything else big about it we need to know other than...
It's possible. We'll know when everything is unveiled, but it's possible that Samsung also has their own GPU tech in there, which would be huge.
Well, hang on. You're getting way ahead of us. I'm just... here's what 810 is from a, you know...
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you meant in general. Yeah. Okay, I'll shut up.
I did mean in general, but not Samsung yet. So LG is using it in the G Flex 2. That's the first device we've seen with 810, right?
Yeah, outside mm-hmm. of the dev device.
Yes.
Okay. So this week we get the stories that the Galaxy S6, which, by the way, still hasn't been announced, won't be using Snapdragon 810 because of overheating issues. Then LG comes out and says, what overheating issues? It's fine.
So we're actually already made a phone that is released with the chip in it.
Yeah, so what's going on? Is this something I need to worry about?
Well, so the initial report was from people familiar with the matter, as they always are, in a Bloomberg report. And then now there was a Wall Street Journal report from other people familiar with matters as well, saying that, okay, well, maybe they're working with Qualcomm and they're going to try to figure it out. And so, you know, we have to think that these things happen with every major device that comes out that's coming out along with, you know, in the first wave of devices with a new chip. Maybe we just don't hear about it all the time.
There are so many variables here that... it's entirely possible that the Snapdragon 810 could run perfectly in the G Flex 2 and horribly in the next Galaxy S6. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a thermal throttling issue, and maybe LG's design allows the chips to run a little bit longer before they throttle down, and Samsung's doesn't. But I think for the consumer at this point, if you trust LG as a company, they're telling you that their phone runs fine. They're promising you that before you can buy it, and you take them at their word and you buy it. Samsung, on the other hand, rumor says that they say it doesn't run fine in their phone, so you have to trust their judgment again. Have you been happy with your previous Samsung or LG phones? Then chances are you're going to be happy with your next one.
It just seems to me like we're getting way ahead of ourselves on all this.
Sure.
And we don't know what this means. I mean, if they don't use the Snapdragon 810, fine. Is that going to have any material difference in the end with what Samsung wants to do with their phone if they run their own Exynos processors, which, by the way, they put in a lot of their phones already? You know, no, there's probably not going to be a difference you know, and that's where we get ahead of ourselves. You know, what does it actually matter in the end?
My only issue is that Samsung has never been very forthcoming about providing the correct open source components for their proprietary processors. You know, there's no saying, there's no reason for me to believe that they'll do that again, and there's no reason for me to believe that they won't do it again. So I'm expecting if they use a proprietary CPU architecture, that it's going to be a while before they fulfill their open source obligations, and that bothers me, even though in the long run it doesn't really matter for 99% of the users. But other than that, they should be able to judge their performance before they release it, and it should be fine.
So I should or shouldn't worry about this rumor?
You shouldn't.
An unannounced phone.
you shouldn't. The guy who buys his phone, buys an Android phone solely because he can take it home, plug it into his computer, and turn it into something that's completely different from what he purchased, maybe he should. But that guy should know where to look and where to find out the answers to his questions before he spends his money.
Well, and even in that case, you know, it's still, we don't know yet. I mean, Sure, you can go flip tables about it having an Exynos processor all you want. At least wait for them to announce that it's going to have it in it.
Russell thinks you're both nuts, by the way. I can just
That's all right.
I figured.
Like Jerry said before, there's just way too many variables as to what's going on here. And even if, you know, they're using the exact same processor as the one that LG is using, there's no guarantee that there isn't an engineering component that none of us know anything about. And it all circles back to, there is no point in getting worked up until Samsung says, here's this phone that we made, here's what's inside of it. And at that point, because even if you bother to get upset at this point, it's not like they're going to change it for you.
You want a really bad analogy? Here's a really bad analogy. I'm going to give Andrew one set of ingredients, say some flour, some butter, some sugar, and some chocolate chips. I'm going to give Jerry another set, the exact same stuff, flour, butter, sugar, chocolate chips. They're both going to make some cookies. Jerry's are just going to look horrible. The chocolate chips are going to taste bad. Andrew's are going to be great. Is the problem with the chocolate chips, or is it with something else?
But mine are going to be
the fun
kind of cookies.
The problem was with the analogy. Oh. So, yeah, don't freak out yet.
I mean, I still just go back to the point that there are millions upon millions of Samsung phones with Exynos processors in them right now that nobody has, you know, currently flipping tables, that they had access to the Exynos one in their market and not the Qualcomm one. You know, Samsung's not going to put something out the door that, you know, I mean, they would work around, like, if they couldn't get their Exynos processor up to snuff, you know, within some kind of limits, you know, and it didn't overheat and whatever, then they would figure out a way to get the 810 in there because that's what they originally wanted.
Absolutely. It's a business decision. Samsung does not want to sell you something that makes you never want to buy another Samsung device. They will do their best to deliver their best.
And for the people who are inevitably sitting thinking, you know, well, we've seen Qualcomm and Exynos devices per generation compared in the past, and their benchmarks have been a little different. There have never once been real-world performance differences between the two versions. You know, there is no app that you are going to run that is going to max out your processor in such a way that you are going to notice a difference between a Qualcomm and an Exynos processor in 2015. It's just not going to happen.
It's a reason why we don't do benchmarks here. That's one of them. Yep. So that's all we got to say about that. You want to do some Q&A?
Sure. Yay.
Here's another one that's going to set me off. Ben, who got in early, thoughts on Google's MVNO ambitions. First, Andrew, what is an MVNO?
Mobile Virtual Network Operator. There's somebody who buys wholesale service from a company that owns or leases their own towers and resells that service on somebody else's towers. So
the way you answered that, like your job didn't depend on it. I'm pretty proud of it.
So like a Virgin Mobile, Straight Talk, Walmart Family Mobile, those sorts of companies.
So why would it be a big deal? Actually, back up, because I've heard this rumor about Google for years. I mean, for years, literally for years we've talked
about. Since about the Nexus 1 came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Google's making a phone. It's going to, you know, try to sell you the airtime now too, which obviously never happened. And that's not even to say they haven't talked about it, because everybody talks about, yeah, but why now? I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, somebody familiar with the matter said something familiar with the matter. That made all of us less familiar with the matter want to be more familiar with the matter, if it matters.
I want to.
Yes, Phil.
I want to beat myself over the head with something dense and matterific. I don't know.
Oh, you got that Dell tablet there.
Put the case on. I do, actually. You know, protect the tablet.
So, I, for one, am looking forward to using my Google MVNO service on my Android Silver device. So I think that's going to be great.
What you did there.
That's just the level of snark that none of us can match.
So my biggest issue here is that people familiar with the matter know that Google, or think they know that Google, is looking at doing something like this. Of course Google is looking at doing something like this. They're looking at doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And so, you know, they would be stupid not to explore partnerships and do things like this. My biggest issue was everybody started freaking out because this sounds like it's something that could happen without any details or knowledge of what's going to happen. If Google releases MVNO service on Sprint with like plans that are comparable to what other MVNOs offer, I don't even care. I don't care whatsoever.
Well, I think before we go any further,
Sprint's network.
Right, Phil. Mm-hmm. What did Sasha Sagan have to say? I forget exactly what he said, but it just, that's it right there.
So, he said it succinctly in a tweet, and I'm going to ramble instead. But he basically said MVNOs buy wholesale service from other carriers, and the carriers dictate the terms of what you're going to do with that. Sprint owns the towers, or, you know, has 100-year leases on the towers, whatever. Sprint or T-Mobile own the towers. They're not going to let you go do crazy things with the towers that are going to affect their network. And when it comes down to it, MVNOs are on a lower level of service, quality of service, than their postpaid customers and their own branded prepaid customers. So when you go get Straight Talk service from straighttalk.com or whatever, they send you a SIM, you're on a lower level on the AT&T towers than AT&T's postpaid customers are. And that's going to be the same thing if Google launches an MVNO. And, you know, people think that Google can throw its weight around or something, but Sprint's not going to jeopardize its own business model to appease Google to make an MVNO.
No, yep. They only do that for
Apple. So I guess...
Right.
the real question is, I suppose, is will a Snapdragon 810 overheat more or less on Google's network?
It would obviously overheat more. Have you been paying attention to anything? I mean, come on.
Unless you put the SIM card in upside down, then it shoots a heat ray out of the back.
I live in an area where it's really easy to visualize the MVNO stuff that Andrew was just talking about, because I'm not far from D.C., and it's really fascinating. Every time there's any kind of gathering on the National Mall where there's more than, say, 200 people, you know, getting there to do something, the first groups of people whose phones stop working are people who have MVNOs, people who have Straight Talk or one of the prepaid services, because the more people fill, it's a weird place physically for the National Mall and cellular service. You basically only have like the one tower there to do stuff. And as soon as they reach that maximum number of people on that tower, the people in charge, they bump the MVNO people off first so that everyone else maintains their service. So, I mean, it's not like a fluke thing. You know, in D.C., it's any time there are groups of people in that area.
And I see the flip side of that, because if every single person where I live had Straight Talk, the tower still wouldn't be full. So Straight Talk here works just as well all the time as postpaid AT&T.
And it's okay to, as long as you understand that, and a lot of people that use prepaid understand, you're not getting something for free. You're paying a cheaper level or a cheaper price, you're going to get a cheaper level of service, and they cut back in all kinds of ways. The big thing is people are for some reason thinking that Google is just going to be able to break that model completely. And unless they, I don't know, unless they start buying towers themselves and owning spectrum themselves, it's not going to happen, because T-Mobile can make plenty of money, or Sprint or Verizon or AT&T can make plenty of money selling postpaid service. They don't really need to go out on a limb and sell Google or anybody else wholesale service for $10 a head and lose a bunch of money.
I think that when people hear Google's doing an MVNO service, the two things that come to mind, one significantly less than the other, is Google Fiber, and the second is the Wi-Fi service that Google does basically for free up in Mountain View, because both of them run exceptionally well, and people who are fortunate enough to have Google Fiber really are paying pennies on the dollar for what a lot of us are paying quite a bit more for not even having close to. And so the knee-jerk reaction is to assume that they're going to get that level of service, because that's the caliber that Google has been operating at so far with other internet service provider offerings. But there's just no way with the way mobile networks are structured in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you're talking about the leap from unlicensed spectrum and Wi-Fi to licensed spectrum over not even cities, you know, counties, states, countries. It's a whole another scale. And like I said, Google's not going to have control over that. They're just handed the keys to access a tower. They're not going to be involved in how things are laid out.
But the internet has told me for years that I'm going to be able to buy a Google phone with free service as long as I look at ads. And that's what everybody's expecting, and that's just not going to happen.
Google may think that it can make money. I mean, I'm sure they can make plenty of money as an MVNO. I'm sure that they could resell Sprint service, $30 unlimited everything, because, you know, Virgin Mobile and Boost Mobile do that for like $45, and Straight Talk does that for $40 or $50. You know, you can make money at this, but you know, people are thinking of this as Google is going to revolutionize the way we use phones rather than Google's just trying to make some money. And I don't think that the latter's
the most interesting thing going to happen. The most interesting theory, I'll have to use the word theory, I've heard on this, is Google could get a contract with the Big Four, and no matter where you are, your Nexus phone would work on the network that it has best service on. I don't know how feasible that is, but I mean, as a theory, it could work. But, you know, I don't know the technical limitations. And then when you think about the Verizon and AT&T complying with something like that, you get Phil going.
Yeah, the closest thing to that is, so you see somebody like Straight Talk offer service on all four national carriers. You don't get to hot swap, though.
Right.
The problem is when you start crossing lines, to say nothing of the technology and the bands and stuff like that, just the SIM provisioning alone and things like that. It, again, that sounds like it would be such a nightmare for Google that's not conducive to them just making money on prepaid service.
Here's what I think, and I hesitate to even say it. Maybe it has something to do with Project Ara in Puerto Rico.
Now, that's actually a legitimate answer, because the legitimate question, because the
don't the sound SIM, so surprised.
The SIMs that we saw, I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago now, were for regional testing in Spain.
Right.
So, you know, as international water testing, Google's been known to do that before. So it's really not such a crazy thing.
Turn Puerto Rico into the Google island.
And
they just do crazy stuff.
From personal contact with people who live in Puerto Rico, Sprint has an extremely robust network there. And Google could partner with Sprint and sell secondhand service for Project Era devices. And people would actually get a good experience that way.
All right, I'm getting nerded out. I got to get off that one. Sorry.
Let me start it.
Jeff
One of us should go spend 30 days in Puerto Rico.
Too late. LGUSA tweeted that Lollipop is coming to the G3 soon. Does anyone know the definition of coming soon? Well, it's a funny thing you ask there, Jeff, because in fact I do. And I had to pull up an old post I did from 2012. It feels longer.
It's whenever the heck they say it is.
It was one of my early little editor's desk things when I was feeling especially snarky. Do you guys remember this? The alternative Android dictionary?
That's every weekend, yep. I thought.
Well, that's also true. So the fourth entry, coming soon. Here's the definition. We actually have no friggin' idea when it's coming. But if we say coming soon, it makes it look like we know when it's coming. We're mysterious like that. That was my definition. You want to hear some more? As long as I've got it open. Imminent. Really, 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 really soon. Maybe.
Did you actually read the appropriate number of reallys, or did you exaggerate?
I'll never tell.
I know, Phil. He probably wrote that many reallys.
Yeah, I might be pretty close, but no. Somebody listening to the podcast, go find that post and let me know how close I got. My definition for Nexus, better.
Oh.
My definition for rooted. My definition for rooted, better. My definition for stock, guess what? Better.
See, I think you're going to have to rewrite your alternative Android dictionary this weekend.
I should. God, you know, we still have that. If you go to slash dictionary, we still have this huge thing of terms that just got out of control.
I remember updating that one time.
Yeah. But
dang. Yeah, that's something that's probably withered a little bit.
Patent stories. A great way to show that 99% of us are and should never be a lawyer. Are not and should never be a lawyer. What else? Fragmentation, a story to be written quarterly, reminding people you don't really understand how Android works as a platform.
All right, don't change that one at all.
Benchmarks, a great way to confuse folks over which phone is better while simultaneously generating page views. I miss that one. We used to do benchmarks. I shouldn't poke fun at benchmarks because I used to get excited about it. Free post. That goes back to how we opened this podcast. And you know, some things matter, some things don't. There, just like I was sorry I asked about the MVNO, Jeff is now sorry he asked about that. I bet. Okay, Lars is asking about the HTC One M9 leaks this week. And actually, Fandroid had a really good one.
Couple good ones.
Short version is it looks like an M8 with a button on the side from what they got. And the cameras have been changed up. I mean, you don't really see too much more than that in the hardware. Initially, from what they first posted, it looked very much to me like a fake ID. That's what HTC calls its shells with, you know, the new guts inside, but the shells do not look like what the actual phone is going to look like. They got some more pictures that look better, actually. So I'll probably back off that some, but it is that time of year when, you know, by all means, you're going to see some fake IDs out there. And Alex or Andrew or somebody picked up the really good post from a couple of years ago with the M7 that looked like the Droid DNA, and then, you know, the post was, this is the M7, but it obviously wasn't.
Capacitive navigation keys and all on that one.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
M7, M8, and M9, if we're going to mention those here for a minute. Has anybody ever, anywhere on the internet, has anybody ever complained about the design, the build, and the feel of the M7?
No.
No.
Has anybody ever complained about the M8? Well, I think we all had issues with the design on the M8. You know, not big ones, but it was bigger, it was slippier, it was rounder, it wasn't quite as nice.
It just wasn't better than the M7.
Right. I want HTC to go back. The M7 was one of the best feeling smartphones ever made, and that's all I wanted to say. Now you wish you hadn't let me talk, don't you, Phil?
I switched back to the M8 a couple weeks ago because it got Lollipop, and I wanted to try it with Lollipop.
Mine still doesn't have it.
I'm not using it with the case. It's the only phone I've ever used with a case. I'm just not a case guy because it is a little slippery. I'm using it this time without a case. The camera's still kind of wonky. I've gotten some good stuff. It's like a prime lens, right? Like if you can get it right in frame where you want it and where it needs to be, you're pretty much set. But I'm excited. I really am.
If I put a prime lens on my camera, it doesn't crap up the ISO and exposure all the time.
Well, that's true. All right. Just saying. That part as well. And I sent you guys some examples of that again in the past week. Yes. Look, I think they are absolutely going to do some different camera stuff this time around. Would not surprise me to see Ultra Pixel disappear on the back, maybe trying something different. Maybe it'll move out front. What was the one that they just announced that had it out front?
Desire 826.
I forget numbers.
The
826 has it out front.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to see that go away. I understand there were issues in its current implementation, but I just wish HTC had billions of dollars to spend to keep developing that and then see where it is in a year from now.
Well, maybe they do, and they bring it back when it's ready to be brought back rather than putting it in a phone and being almost universally panned for it for another year.
Take your logic and common sense somewhere else, boy.
It's also really cool to see them use this as a front-facing camera. I mean, this gives them something that no one else is ever going to offer. And front-facing cameras over the last year have really kind of plateaued. I mean, you either have a 2-megapixel shooter like everyone else does, or you go and do something crazy and make the whole top of your phone flip around so that you get a better shot. This is a cool way for them to keep the technology in development, you know, in a public way, and offers some unique stuff.
I'm excited. I am. And I don't know anything yet, so I'm just going off the leaks too. What do you guys think about moving the power button from the top of the side, if in fact that's what that is?
Thank the Lord.
No. No. I don't want the power button where I can hit it with my thumb, ever.
I don't want the power button where I can't hit it, ever.
Yep, what Andrew just said.
Well, the way I see it is the power button, when you want to use it, you can just look and find it if you can't find it without looking. The alternative is every time I pick up my phone and turn it on, I instantly turn it back off because I hit the damn power button.
Do you Auto X a lot?
Yes, I do, actually, and the Nexus 6.
The only thing
hold your phone
good.
Like a man. That's how I hold my phone, like a man.
I hold mine left-handed, so maybe that's what's different for me.
Maybe.
My only thing with the way that we're seeing it now is I believe the power button is underneath the volume buttons, which does increase the chances that it's accidentally hit, and that's how Sony's done it, where they keep nudging the power button lower and lower on the side. I just want it to be on the side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I can get used to anything, I guess.
Yeah, we all can, even me.
And if they keep the power button up top and what we've seen so far is, you know, not what is reality, then maybe they've done something to, you know, make it so that we don't ever need the power button like Motorola and LG have done.
Well, I mean, the gesture, the screen off gestures on the M8, you know, really, you don't need it to turn on the screen a lot because you're just swiping up to go to your home screen, which is nice.
I want red and green phone power buttons like they had on the Hero. Bring them back.
Here's a really good question from a disturbed angel, and I actually have taken screenshots of exactly what you're talking about. I keep meaning to write something. On my Moto X in the Facebook app, I'm now seeing targeted ads telling me that my Moto X is slow. It's not, ever. And to install Clean Master to save battery and memory. Do the muggles really buy that, in your opinion? I thought Advanced Task Killer was over and dead.
You know, I've been seeing the same thing. Facebook has picked up that I use a Note 4 and a Nexus. And so I get those same ones, the Clean Master for the Nexus, and I also get, you know, you'll never believe what these people did with the Note 4, and they use, like, crappy fan renders from before the Note 4 is announced to advertise it, and it's Man, I'm afraid that a lot of people do fall for that stuff.
All right, there are 1 billion Android users. Let's take 1/9 of Facebook's traffic away for good. Stop using it if they're going to pull that crap. They have control over what ads they run because that's a total load of crap unless you have an original Galaxy S and have never updated anything.
But Facebook's getting paid to do that.
It says, breaking news for HTC users. Most HTC users don't realize that they have the power to extend their battery life by installing blah, blah, blah. It's like, no.
That's like the same
as Italian. What's it called?
Yep.
That's, yeah, it's horrible. So let's look it up. Clean Master.
You're being lied to and you're being used, and they're acting like you're just a number, which you are, but it's never nice when a company treats you that way.
100 million installs.
That doesn't mean
and Jack. not to get all xenophobic, because I've said this before in the past that doesn't particularly matter where servers are going, but you know, well, no, I'm not even going to say it. You can go look for yourself where the address goes to. Just world's most trusted optimizer, CleanMaster, helps clean up over 400 million phones. Why do you need us? CM is perfect for you if your phone has become laggy or runs out of battery easily. If it stopped playing games smoothly, if it becomes too hot to hold, or if you want to free up some space to store more photos or songs.
Or if you want to run another app on top of all those other apps that have your phone slowed down.
So, I mean, this is just an extension of the kind of clean my PC kind of ads and stuff like that. And now it's just made its way over here, and we're never going to be able to stop those ads from showing up.
iMore did a good post on that this week, because it might well be the same people, actually. Same thing for OS X. I see it.
It's the same thing. I mean, there was a time when Windows computers were horrible for this. If you have 1,000,001 things happening, and you're trying to do everything all at one time, the more things you do, the slower your hardware can process all the information. There are apps on Android that run in the background constantly if you want them to. Some do it even if you don't want them to. But the solution is not to download some app that Facebook told you should download because your phone is screwed up. The solution is not to use the apps that perform poorly in the first place. And for that, to a place like Android Central.
First, what's new? Added app boost box function in App Manager to boost your apps by 32%. What the hell does
that mean? Awesome.
I want the data. I want the data that shows.
I get that we're preaching to the choir. If you're listening to this, chances are you probably know better.
Clean Bro 9000.
Wow.
12% faster, baby.
Jeez. Optimize browsing history detection and antivirus to better protect your privacy. We're going to do some posts coming up here in a couple weeks. Next week, was it? I forget when.
Next week.
About antivirus and stuff, which generally we kind of shy away from because, for the most part, it's kind of crap. And I mean, that's not to say these apps don't necessarily have some interesting features in them and some useful features, but as far as antivirus goes, your time and money are probably better spent elsewhere, right?
For the most part, for most
people. We're going to look at it.
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to look at it. We're going to tell you what to worry about and what not to worry about, and dive into the apps, you know, the bigger apps a little bit and say, all right, here's what these really do and which part you might need. And there's just so much crap out there, which is why I kind of want to do it. But, let's do a little more Q&A. We'll get out of here. What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
Did Motorola rush their lollipop update, asked Ryan, to be able to claim they were first? Somebody mentioned that Motorola learned its lesson, and it looks like the Moto G is getting a new update now.
I don't know if they rushed it as, you know, to say that they were first as much as maybe what they sent out to the Moto X kind of didn't work out very well.
I think they sent it out because people like Ryan were screaming for a lollipop update, and they did it. Hi, Ryan.
Oh, I knew it. By the way, go back to it real quick, I knew it. I had Clean Master in Twitter, too.
Spending the money.
I just installed it on this phone. We'll see what happens.
That's why I don't use the first-party Twitter app.
I probably just mailed all my whatever back to China.
back on the updates.
Yes. Sir.
A year ago, we had to wait 6 months before anybody even thought. Well, maybe longer than a year ago. We had to wait 6 months before we saw any phones with an updated version of the software. We complained. We hated that. We wanted it new right away. But by the time the OEMs got the updates out there, the builds were more mature. They had their own customizations put in, and generally they worked well. Now we're seeing instant updates that are full of bugs that exist in the original code, plus any manufacturer bugs, and it's exactly what we asked for.
And, you know, I'm noticing plenty of things. My Moto X is not the same device with the Lollipop on it as it was in KitKat. It is, you know, this weekend's project, which it's a project for me, so it takes a long time, is factory resetting this Moto X because it's almost unusable. It gets so bogged down with different crap. So it's really annoying.
Yep, I'm definitely not a fan of performance from my Moto X. I kind of ranted about it on G Plus earlier this week because it you know, I had sat it on my desk all day long, and when I picked it up to leave my office at the end of the day, it felt like it was on fire for absolutely no reason, and my battery life had dropped by 40% within 20 minutes, which is awesome for a thing that, you know, people who buy phones to have to deal with. But I almost feel – I was really annoyed earlier this week when someone pointed out a comment on one of the articles about the update to 5.0.2. Somebody said, thanks, beta testers. Kind of poking at the Nexus.
I think it was Jerry.
I think it was Jerry. But, you know, honestly, it's kind of starting to feel true. You know, we got Android 5.0. If Google gets to a point where they go, hey, so the source for this thing is ready, you know, I kind of feel like it should be a little closer to ready than what we got.
I've been using mostly a Nexus device since the Nexus One. That's been my phone of choice. I see no difference. It's always this way. The difference is now Motorola and now LG and Samsung, they're on a rush. They're updating much faster. Before Google fixes the bugs that they need to fix in the code itself, and those bugs are getting lost in a sea of other bugs from OEM enhancements.
And I was thinking about this yesterday because, you know, it's always the trade-off that Lollipop does a lot of cool things, and it looks really cool, and it's fast a lot of the time and smooth, way smoother than what KitKat on the Note 4 does even, which is quite smooth. The biggest difference is the consistency of when I look at KitKat on my Note 4 versus the Moto X. It's consistently the same slightly slower speed for everything. It doesn't have these peaks and valleys where it just all of a sudden, you know, locks up 40% of my battery in 20 minutes, or, you know, slows down so much I have to reboot it, or the camera app won't open. It's just the same all the time, and it may not be the fastest at any given one thing, but it's the same all the way. And so I'm kind of preferring that approach in this instance anyways.
Device is getting slow. Boost now. This app is the best.
You'll love 5.0.
Pushed it. I don't know what I did.
Maybe that's what I need. Phone Maybe boost. I need Clean Master for my Moto X. Maybe right. Facebook is right.
Motorola should CPU bundle it by default in the ROM.
Yeah.
Quiet. Quiet. It's scanning the CPU.
You're running it?
Cool down the CPU.
I hope you plan on factory resetting that device.
Yeah, no shortly. Kidding.
I probably should have taken all my pictures off at first, too.
Oh, don't worry. They're getting taken off right now.
Yeah, whatever banking app you have installed.
It just cleaned 20 running apps.
See, Jerry, it's going to the Clean Master Cloud. I'm sure you don't have a problem with that. It's a service.
Clean Master Cloud and Fastener Company.
I'm going to ask a dumb question I just don't remember the answer to. Can apps get the CPU temperature?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be very difficult for them to do. That's going to depend on...
I have to assume that app's just giving you complete hardware. BS on what the temperature is, but...
Oh, yeah, and this is horrible. This is so not good. What do you want me to shut down? Doesn't recommend I shut itself down, so it's, you know, one step ahead. Was that a Sony phone that did that?
Yeah, it was Sony that told you to shut off the Sony
phone. I think it was a Sony one that's like, hey, you should clean the Sony app off your phone. And we're like, okay, thanks.
At least they were honest.
It's probably a pretty legitimate recommendation.
Any other Q&A questions you guys see in here you want to tackle? Jeff's asking about the new HP stuff. I don't know. You're going to have to wait till we see it. So I don't think any of us has touched it yet.
I think Merman,
I should turn to B. Hang on, let me do this one. Should we consider the Google Play Edition devices a failed experiment? Was it strictly a financial decision, or were no manufacturers interested? Is the party over? Yeah, I think it's been done for a long time. It's just the last one's gone, so we're talking about it again.
It was something that needed to be done, but I'm sure that absolutely nobody benefited from it financially.
I've talked to several manufacturers who were, you know, like in a rare occasion actually gave some ballpark numbers of how many were sold, and it was not a lot. And no, I'm not going to repeat who it was or what the numbers were.
We'll just make some up.
People familiar with the matter said that they didn't sell many phones.
Yes, I'm blogging it right now.
Ooh, I have a notification. Look at my notification.
Oh.
It went away, but...
There it is.
But, all right.
54 megabytes of similar photos found.
That just crossed the line into evil if it's spammed notifications.
54 megs. Oh, my goodness. How is your phone even working?
I also put a couple things on my home screen. Oh, look at that. It put icons on my home screen.
Did it put the Yahoo toolbar in your browser?
Let's find out.
If you open Chrome, is there a bear share toolbar now?
You know, they could definitely do that on phones that have, you know, a built-in browser that's not Chrome. Absolutely.
Yep.
They could change your homepage and everything just like a computer.
Nope. Browser looks okay. Wow. Yeah, somebody's going to have to do something on this app. It's good to be in charge.
It'll be Alex because he's not
three
here.
Three of you. Oh, yeah, that works for me. Alex is going to be like, it doesn't work in the UK.
Sure.
I'm not
Richard,
gonna know.
Richard, we need to know if that app works in the UK.
Miguel
wants to know what program we use. Oh, yep, sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. I do have a somewhat serious one that's actually smart from smart to talk about. Brent says, I finally have 5.0.x on all my Nexi, but they all feel and look differently. He says Nexus 5, 7, 9, 10. Wow, he's got them all. Can you explain the interaction between Android OS, the Google Search app, and the Google Now launcher that make the difference on all of these devices? And it is kind of funky because we saw this, especially when 5.0 first came out, that you could have the same version of the Google Now launcher and the Google Search app installed on two different devices, and they would get a different version of the launcher depending on what their OS was, KitKat or Lollipop. But even now, you see the Nexus 7 doesn't come with Google Now launcher on it by default. You just get launcher.apk or whatever. And the short answer is Google has to fix that. They have to decide that all of their Nexus devices are going to have the same version of Google Now Launcher, because the way that it is now, they can serve different APKs depending on what device you have and you update from the Play Store. The version numbers of those apps don't necessarily mean that you're going to have the same experience across all the devices. And that kind of sucks.
For a less short answer... especially when dealing with the Nexus 10, it's very different OpenGL stuff. And if you remember when KitKat first came out, there were issues with the Nexus 10 because it just doesn't have the same type of hardware acceleration for the huge number of pixels on the screen. And Google had to compensate for that and do things a little bit differently. So... that's why things may look a little bit different, especially with transparencies and your Google search bar. They may be coded for different hardware OpenGL specifications. Maybe. Maybe. But I still like Andrew's version better. Google needs to fix it.
Well, in the end, they do. It's really confusing when you have different devices that are updated and you say, oh, they're all up to date. I have the same launcher, but things don't act the same way. Even with two Nexus devices that were released around the same time and running the same software, it's very confusing.
I think we're done. I'm done. You guys done? You guys could keep going, I guess.
Let's talk about some MVNOs again.
If we're going to talk MVNOs, I'm getting Mickey in here.
Yes, go listen to the Cell Phone Junkie podcast and see if they tackle that at all. Because absolutely smarter than any of us about that, I think. Except for maybe Andrew. Maybe. Yeah,
Andrew would do well there, I think. It would be something that your brain would explode after about 15 minutes worth, but...
That's the kind of stuff I like.
Too much information.
Any other emails that are worth reading? Patrick asks, will all the phones be able to take advantage of the new manual camera apps once they are updated to Lollipop? And do you think it might make a big difference on, say, the first generation Moto X, which is what he has, with camera API too and stuff?
Yes and no. The APIs should be the same on Lollipop regardless. But your camera hardware just isn't as good on the original Moto X, which is still my favorite phone. I'm not knocking at all. It's just not really good.
So you've got, and the hardware's built into the chipsets, right?
Right. Sure. You can't. Yeah. It's. I mean, they're separate components, but it's a unit, right?
Yeah. Gotcha. We got Thomas. All right. I think it's gonna do it. I feel good. That was a good podcast. If we didn't get to your email, I apologize. Running short on time. What else?
Now I miss my Moto X.
Sorry. Email us at podcast@androidcentral.com if you want. Also, be sure to try to catch us live. It's probably the best way to get our attention for questions. You can get us all on Google+, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search our names. Android Central is on all of those as well. Please go subscribe to our YouTube channel, because I asked you nicely. I don't know. Just do it. Do it. Do it now. Jerry's doing it right now.
I've already done it. Tell.
As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. You can go to that little website, ShopAndroid.com, or call 888-468-6158. If you prefer to talk to a person or have questions, they will help you. We should all answer that one day. That would be interesting.
I would love to.
What do you think?
I'm game. Yeah.
Hi, this is Peggy.
Oh man, you think we give bad advice now? Alright, I think that's it. It's Friday. I'm gonna go home, have a beverage, and work some more, probably. Jerry, Alex, Russell, thank you guys.
Alex? Whoa, okay.
Alex, damn it, Andrew.
I'm not reviewing that.
I saw in my brain, I saw. Here's a word that starts with A. That's probably him. So yeah, I told you I'm ready to go home.
You Thank sure you Richard. Need another beverage?
Alright, that's it. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye bye.
Toodles.
Russell, you can say bye.
Goodbye.